Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. Except for this episode and other ones, because this is a Superman special. We're talking about the season finale of Supergirl Season 2. Nevertheless, she persisted, because Superman makes a guest appearance. And whenever Superman makes an appearance in live action media, we're going to cover it here in our Superman specials on Always Hold On to Smallville. And joining me to talk about the Supergirl Season 2 finale is Krypton Sites and K-Site TV's Craig Byrne. What's up, Craig?
Hi, good to be on again.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago we were talking Rosetta, so it's good to talk to you so soon, Craig.
One of the best episodes of TV ever. Makes me happy. So I was glad to be on.
For sure, man. So, you know, speaking of that, we're talking, you know, obviously we talk about Smallville every week, and so we got Smallville on the mind. But I got to say, you know, I saw a lot of Smallville in this Supergirl season's finale. What about you?
Well, there's probably a good reason for that. For starters, Glenn Winter was the director. Mm-hmm. And he got his start directing episodes of Smallville, and he was a director of photography long before that. So he was always a part of the show, and I think that kind of was reflected in this episode.
He always holds on to Smallville, is what you're saying.
He always holds on to Smallville, but also, let's admit it, we're watching this episode, the first thing we probably thought about doing afterwards is watching Splinter.
Yeah, it's a silver kryptonite, right? Silver kryptonite. By the way, there's going to be spoilers here for the Supergirl season's finale, so if you haven't watched it yet, go watch it. We're just going to be talking all over the place about it, so you have been warned. So silver kryptonite makes an appearance, something they invented for Smallville. Wasn't in the comics, right?
I'm not sure, to tell you the truth. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there are other things that originated on Smallville that ended up on Supergirl, mm-hmm. like Lillian Luthor. That was not originally her name.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if they have silver kryptonite in the comics now, you know, much like they tried to incorporate Chloe and, you know, other, Lionel has now become in the comics, you know, aspects of Smallville. So I wouldn't be surprised, I mean, because I don't know every single issue of every single Superman comic, okay? So they might have mixed it in, because they're always looking for a new angle, a new color kryptonite. They might have mixed in the silver. Now, when she pulled out the silver kryptonite, though, I thought it might have been Jim kryptonite from season 9. Remember that?
Man, I don't even remember that. I've kind of blocked out most of season 9.
Oh, I love season 9. Come on, man.
When you get to season 9 of your podcast, I'll be like, oh, I haven't seen this episode in 10 years.
No, you don't like season 9?
There are aspects of season 9 I liked. I don't really like any concept where you have a bunch of people more powerful than Clark. So, like, the new Kryptonians did nothing for me. I liked, we're like spoiling people who aren't that far in the series.
I talk about it all the time. I probably bring them the finale in every other episode, so people already know what to expect.
It's right? Like, I liked Callum Blue, but I thought he kind of lost his power at a certain point in the season and didn't really get it back until that excellent season 9 finale. Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite episode of the show, Salvation.
Well, Greg Beeman came back for that one, which was a huge deal at the time. He went way over budget, which didn't make people very happy on the studio side, but he made sure the episode looked good. And I actually thought about that a little bit when you saw Superman falling in the Supergirl premiere, mm-hmm. or finale.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made me think of like the final shots of Salvation, which is a big compliment.
Well,
so
even the Rhea Kara fight reminded me of Zod Clark at the end of season 9. Because I'm going to make everyone you suffer will, you know, kneel before me, or, you know, or Zod even appears in this episode, sort of. So I there's a lot of Salvation in this episode, you know, alien invasion. They basically activate the Book of Rao at the end of the episode to get all the aliens off the planet.
But, you know, I have to say, having had jury duty in downtown LA yesterday, I really do miss the Los Angeles locations on Supergirl they had in season 1, because it all looks the same when they're in Vancouver now.
That's true. Yeah, well, I did wonder, like, could they have gotten, you know, Rhea and Kara on, like, another roof? Did they just stand on that roof the whole time? Because they just stayed on that one building.
Couldn't they just use the roof from Salvation just to see if anybody noticed?
Exactly. I guess overall, you know, this is an open forum discussion here, I guess. But I felt like, I don't know, I felt like last season and then last season finale was just a lot better, a lot more fulfilling than this season and the season finale of Supergirl. That's just me.
I'm kind of mixed, mm-hmm. because, I mean, there was a lot to like in the season 1 finale, but, like, the whole bit where she's, like, pushing the ship into the sky was kind of anticlimactic. I do think one thing that this finale did not so well is, I mean, I understand that the guest characters are important, especially when you have Superman and Cat Grant, and I love both of them. But I felt like a lot of guest characters had a lot more roles than people who were actually on the show.
Like Jimmy Olsen, who had like half one of a line, scene. Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. And Maggie, who just shows up at the end, and spoiler warning, is leaving the show, so...
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to go, right?
Yeah, you know. So that wasn't too great, but I mean, again, it was great to have Superman on.
Right.
And I don't think Tyler had quite the presence he had in his first two appearances, but I don't know what could be done about that. The other thing I wanted to comment on that I was thinking about when I was rewatching this is... It always bugged me on Smallville, like, whenever, like, Kara would come back, it would almost always be to make Clark look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I like that when Clark comes back to Supergirl, it's not to make Kara look bad. If that makes any sense at all. It's like, it's still her show. Whereas I felt like when Kara came back, on, like, in the episode Supergirl in season 10 of Smallville, it seemed like it was just to crap on Clark. And it's like, no, don't do that.
No, I see what you're saying about Superman and Supergirl, because, hey, the show is called Supergirl, and you don't want him showing up and being more awesome than her, which is, as you put, exactly what happened on Smallville whenever Kara would show up. Although I do feel like, especially in the last, and again, we're jumping over the place here, but like the last barrage of scenes, it was just people just telling Kara how awesome she is. And it's like, okay, next, 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 next. You know, I don't know. I feel like they overdid it. Like, they overcompensated. Like, they have Superman saying, oh, you beat me. I was at full strength. You're Earth's champion. You're better than I am. Like, okay, they can do that more subtle, in my opinion.
Zach, I have to interrupt you because that wasn't the lamest, like, line of the whole episode. The lamest line was, yeah, you passed out, but then you got better and flew us to the Fortress of Solitude, and then you passed out again.
You're right.
I was like, I think somewhere they realized they had a big plot hole there, and they're like, we're just going to explain it in dialogue, and it just was ridiculous.
The only thing that would have made that worse is if it was ADR. At least they caught it on set, right? Because I mean,
they could have just pulled a Smallville and be like, yeah, you know, the Fortress of Solitude, it just turned back on between seasons.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I really liked, and again, since this is a Smallville podcast, I feel like we need to make the, you know, comparisons.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I really loved the bits with Lillian and Lena again this week. It was very, I mean, still very Lex and Lionel. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're not good enough, but, you know, we're going to have to, you know. There was a lot of manipulation, mm-hmm. like Lillian, like telling Lena what she wanted to hear to get what she wanted.
And once they got the device working, she was like, okay, well, let's go turn it on. And they were very smart to give Supergirl the remote control, because Lillian just would have turned it on. Now, again, this is one of those things that I unexpectedly really liked Supergirl season one. I didn't know what to expect when it came along, and I really liked it, and I liked the world they'd set up. And this is more of me talking about the season as a whole now, as opposed to specifically a finale. But, and yeah, for what they're doing, it all works, but I just feel like, being a small little podcast, I've seen this all before. Like, for them to just copy and paste Lionel and Lex over to this show, but as Lillian and Lena, it's like, come on, guys, you already do the gender swap with Supergirl and, you know, Cat Grant
and
is
you
the Perry
the
White.
Same homoerotic subtext between the super person and the Luther.
You do. It's just like, come on, mix it up a little bit. Oh, man.
Wait, so does this mean we're going to actually meet the real Jimmy Olsen, and this is Henry James Olsen?
Henry James Olsen. Oh, so good. That would make a lot more sense. Since he's running around being Guardian.
Wouldn't have been the Guardian.
I was surprised he didn't, like, suit up and be the Guardian at the end of this episode. I mean, did that surprise
you? I did
you?
Get a laugh. I can't believe the first time I watched, I didn't catch the line where Callista is like, oh, I've never seen Star Wars.
Yes, that was a great in-joke. So good. Because obviously, if you're not aware, listeners, Callista Flockhart is married to Harrison Ford, Han Solo. So.
Also, I'm pretty sure the editor of the Daily Planet on Smallville had seen Star Wars.
There it is. Huh. Yes. Pauline Kahn, the late, great Carrie Fisher. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Can we get Harrison Ford as Perry White on Supergirl for an episode? That would be amazing, right? Come on now.
Yeah, because he totally wants to fly to Vancouver. They can't even keep Maggie Sawyer in Vancouver.
Did she have a job on this? So what is the deal? So Maggie Sawyer, she's leaving, guys. You wouldn't know it from the season finale, but she's not a regular next year. Is she have a job at another show, or does she get a better gig as a main star? Is there any word on that? Do you know? I mean, I don't know, but
as I understand it, and this is without any like real insider information at all, just like secondhand things. I'm pretty sure she just wanted to be open to things in LA, mm-hmm. and she only had a 1-year contract.
Gotcha.
And I think she tweeted as such, like saying, but she is supposedly coming back as recurring next season, which could mean like the Cat Grant plan where she never shows up.
Look a bit, you know, Curtis is married on Arrow. We never see his husband, so we can.
Well, his husband went away. Like, no, his husband disappeared. His husband's the vigilante. What are you talking about?
That's a great theory.
No, my theory, and a certain Green Hood Bowman told me I'm wrong with this theory, is that the vigilante is Roy Harper, and that's why Prometheus didn't go after him.
Oh, that's interesting.
But you know, Mr. Green Arrow tells me that's not the case. So,
but I think he's a little too tall to be Roy, huh? I mean, I don't know. He was only in that.
He can wear, like, you know, things to make himself taller. Can we talk about the notion? I mean, this is jumping around, but the Arrow finale was so good. It kind of reminded me of the best Smallville season, one of the best Smallville season finales for cliffhangers. The season 3 finale, Covenant.
Look at that, topical. It's only fair you get the political. It's only fair you get the political commentary in, Craig, considering this episode was called "Nevertheless, She Persisted." But anyway,
yeah, it was just a whole lot of Covfefe going on there. But no, like Covenant had all those cliffhangers of you know who will live and who will die, and I felt the same thing here with Arrow. So, but whereas like Supergirl, it wasn't as egregiously bad as The Flash.
Well, I feel like, I mean, you obviously liked this episode more than I did. I didn't dislike it, but again, I mean, you mentioned Arrow. Arrow was great. Arrow was everything I could have hoped it could have been, and has, you know, more, other than, and I'm going to say this here, I called this, guys, I called it, he was going to, like, be in Russia all season 5, and get, like, you know, a fake beard and a fake wig, and I was like, are you serious? He gets, like, dropped off on the island, like, right before we see him in season 1. I don't, that beard and wig does not match up to what they had in the first scene of the first episode. I guarantee you that was not their plan. I mean, he was going to leave the island at some point, but I don't think their plan was, okay, he gets to the island like a day before or 48 hours before they rescue him from Russia, right?
Just wait until Arrow season 6 where people are uncovering the connections between Oliver and the Russians.
Oh my gosh, so good. So, oh, it just can't
stop.
We
really will have an episode called Covfefe.
Anyway, I completely derailed you, but you're right. The some of the best season finales of Smallville, for sure, like Covenant you were talking about, Craig.
Yeah, but going back to that, though, I think part of the problem with the Supergirl finale is, and this will make me very unpopular if any Supergirl fans are listening, I'm not feeling the whole Kara Mon-El thing.
Oh, not at all. I didn't feel it at all this season.
So, with him going, I'm kind of like, I wish he'd just stay away, but knowing how TV works, he'll probably be back by the end of the season 3 premiere. I hope not, but I have a feeling that could happen. I mean, we know Barry Allen's going to be back by the end of the season 4 premiere of Flash. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
What happened to him at the end of the episode? He got sucked into a wormhole or something? Like, I was a little confused.
I think he was sucked into the Phantom Zone, which would be consistent with Mon-El in the comics.
Yes!
Then he woke up and was saved from the lead stuff in the 31st century.
By the Legion.
Where he met the Legion of Superheroes, yeah, which would be awesome.
So could he come back with the Legion? Finally, we've been teased with the Legion so much now, yes, with the ring. That would be a great way to see them.
Apparently, Kevin Smith said something in an interview hinting that the Legion was coming.
Mm-hmm. And so then we can do another comparison to how they did it on Smallville. So
let's get Geoff Johns to write it.
I think it would turn out very well. Yeah.
I miss Geoff Johns writing for the comic book shows. Like,
yes,
you know, he did some Flash episodes. He did some Arrow. He did at least one Smallville every year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. He's a very talented guy.
He's a busy guy, though. I mean, he's really gone up in the ranks since the Smallville days. So
he is writing at least parts of the DC the DC streaming service Titans thing. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Which I'm curious to see if they'll try to tie into this.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I don't know how long the deal is with Hulu, but I wouldn't be shocked if Smallville were available there.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, that'd be smart. And maybe Lois and Clark, huh?
And Lois and Clark, Birds of Prey, hopefully with the right theme song. I don't know if CW Seed has the right theme song. I know the DVDs don't have the correct theme song.
Oh, okay. I have not compared them.
I'm the guy that bought the DVD set of Birds of Prey. It's so weird how TV has changed because, you know, I mean, if Birds of Prey were developed now, it would have totally been in the same universe as Smallville.
As Aquaman would have been, or Mercy
as
Reef.
As Aquaman would have been. I think they would have certainly tried Batman or Wonder Woman during the Smallville years. I thought very strongly that we were going to see Wonder Woman by the end of, you know.
You thought they had given up on the movie by then, huh?
Well, remember they were developing that NBC show.
Oh, that's right.
Smallville's final years, along with Adrian Plicky.
Yeah, with Supergirl. The original Smallville Supergirl. What is
Lindsay.
Oh,
I think it was Lindsay Harrison or something, right?
I think it was Lindsay, yeah. Yeah, in the episode Covenant. It all ties together. So.
Go Fifi. yeah, but... but yeah, I mean... It's... I'm still, like, dumbfounded. We have, like... We're going to have 5 DC shows on the CW.
Can they just rename it the DC at this point?
Yeah, but, like, to think that we have 5 here, yet Smallville got higher ratings than any of them, yet never actually got a spinoff. That's kind of sad. I mean, it's like when, you know, Tyler Hoechlin showed up as Superman on Supergirl. I think all of us, our first thought is, are they going to spin off Superman?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have 6 shows on the CW now? The only problem with doing a Superman show on the CW at this point, beyond the whole movie thing, is I think it would make the CW look sexist, because I think it would, like, maybe be over promoted compared to Supergirl, and that might not make them look too good.
Yeah.
It would be like if they did a show White Lightning this fall. Black Lightning. No,
had to go there. I'm looking forward to Black Lightning. Now, it doesn't look like that's part of the
it is not
CW version for now, right?
But I really appreciate in doing Black Lightning that they're, you know, doing this push for diversity in characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you look at Smallville's ratings. The highest ratings for, like, I think it was like, was it season 5 or 6, were the episodes with Cyborg and Bow Wow. You know, it's like you appeal to more than just a white audience. So I think that's a great idea. I think it's going to be good. And we just went on one of our usual tangents.
Yeah, we were talking about Supergirl, was it? So, comparing this finale to, like, the Smallville finales of old.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what Smallville finale would remind me of. You know, in a way, okay, season 2 of Smallville was probably one of the best seasons of TV ever. But I think you and I were talking the other day about how, like, Calling was actually better than Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of had that kind of, like, Exodus-type ending where, you know, somebody's just, like, leaving and you don't know where these relationships are going to go, but it'll probably be back to normal soon enough.
Well, is Matthew Wood a regular next season on Supergirl?
Chris Wood. I don't know.
Well, Chris, sorry, Matthew Wood is the voice of General Grievous.
Star Wars of the brain.
Nerd alert.
No, I don't know. I would assume so, especially since him and Melissa are like a real life couple.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something Smallville also managed to avoid doing. Yes. Although 2 cast members did date after the show.
Well done, Smallville. Yeah, that would be Michael Rosenbaum and Laura Vandervoort.
Vandervoort, but yeah.
Well, it's Tyler Hoechlin and Al Gal.
Al Gal, yeah. You just have me on to, like, pronounce. It's not
Please
Miles
correct.
Millar.
Miles Millar. Oh, man. So, yeah, I just saw, and this, so, yeah, I thought about Salvation. I thought about Covenant as well. Just a lot of, you know, whenever Zod shows up, you think about, you know, Vessel. I thought about what would have been the finale. I thought about Veritas when, I guess it wasn't Veritas where we see Brainiac and Kara fly up. It's not until Sleeper we see that they flew into, like, a black hole or something to go back in time. I thought about that.
About Splinter.
Yeah, I thought it was Splinter for sure. You know, so there was just a lot of Smallville in this. There's a lot of Smallville in Supergirl anyway, but then of course with all the Lena and Lindley and stuff. But I was
actually also reminded of Batman v Superman when they're like having the fight downtown. Like fire in the background and, you know, these big booms. Well, I was thinking of the fight with Doomsday.
Yeah, that reminded me of Doomsday. Yeah, not only Batman v Superman, but also the Smallville episode Doomsday, but done much better here.
No, it's the Flash finale that was the Smallville episode Doomsday.
That's true.
I am not coming on the podcast for that finale.
Man, that is... okay, so talking about finales here, right? Tempest is great. Exodus, yeah. Good. Calling was better. Covenant, yeah. Great. Commencement, oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Good to great, you know, in there, and not as good as 1 and 3, but 4 is pretty good.
Commencement ends with the fortress, right? That was the one.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He throws the crystal.
Yeah. So commencement was awesome. I'm putting my foot down on that one.
Well, I'm gonna revisit season 4. I'm looking forward to it because everybody tells me how awesome it is, and I'm kind of down on it. But season 5, I love Vessel. I love Vessel.
I'm kind of so-so on Vessel, but I know why you like it.
What are you talking? You know why I like it. Phantom was pretty good. I mean, we got a pretty good fight between. I mean, it's Bizarro kind of came out of nowhere in Phantom. Like you weren't expecting that.
The thing about Phantom is, you know, I was writing my books at that time, and I had read the Phantom script before I had seen it, and that last shot of his face getting all blocky like the comics was not in the script.
Okay.
That was like added later, which I think is pretty awesome.
Now we get some risky territory. Arctic, not good. Don't like Arctic.
I do like the final scenes between Clark and Lex, though.
Right. Well, anything with Clark, well, thank goodness. I mean, they waited to like the last 5 minutes to give us some of meaning there. But Arctic was famously spoiled, though, in the TV Guide description. It was like literally it spoiled every single plot point. It's like Brainiac disguised as Kara reveals Clark's secret to Lex and takes him to the Fortress of Solitude, where him and Clark have a final confrontation. I'm like, that? Like, are you kidding me?
But also consider that, I mean, I've read the original version of Veritas that was supposed to be the season finale. That would have been an amazing season finale because everything big happened there. Like, you know, like Brainiac and Kara making the new fortress, which is in the deleted scenes. Lex arriving at the fortress in the final shot.
That we saw in a trailer, but yes. Not in ever an episode.
And in Lex's memories in the final episode.
No, but that's what's different. I don't understand that final shot because in the trailer for it was either Sleeper or Quest. I don't know, but you see Lex go up to the fortress in a parka, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, cool. But in the finale, he's just wearing like his normal Lex costume with like a trench coat. So like, I don't know where that footage came from. Like, you know what
that
I'm saying?
That footage came from the original ending to Veritas.
But it's weird. But they don't match, though. You know? Like we'll look it up. We'll get some screenshots sometime. We'll look it up. But...
Yeah, but yeah. So the original ending of Veritas, also the plan was to get Genevieve Teague back in that episode for the flashback.
I remember that from Krypton Site back in the day. I remember those spoilers that Trevor's talking about.
Oziello reported on that, too. And one thing that was weirdly changed at that time, too, is because I saw them filming, I think it might have even been Traveler. Originally, Jason Teague's father was supposed to have been killed by Lionel. Mm-hmm. And then instead they brought the holographic doctor on.
Robert Picardo. I love Robert Picardo. He's awesome.
I love Robert Picardo, but he does not look like he would have any chance in heck with Jane Seymour.
Well, nor does he look anything like that actor they cast to play, you know,
in the flashback.
Yeah, in the flashback. So I'm like, why don't they just get that same guy back? But anyway, got to get a name actor like Robert Picardo.
Either way, Veritas would have been the season finale, and I think it would have been an amazing season finale, but that was the year where the writer's strike screwed up.
Right.
So... I mean, at least we got, like, the bonus scene of Lana, like, saying goodbye, so we knew why she was going to be gone for a while.
From the set of The Legend of Chun-Li. So we'll definitely, down the road, guys, we'll have Craig on our Veritas episode. We'll have a lot of fun talking about that one.
Yeah, we'll talk about Veritas, and will Discovery have premiered by then?
I think it's going to happen now, Craig. They have the trailer, you know, so I think it's coming.
It's been a long road getting from there to here.
But our time is finally here. So then we get to Doomsday, which is incredible disappointment. I stopped watching the show after Doomsday. I didn't.
There were no real cliffhangers to Doomsday. It's like Clark just walks out the door and disappears.
Yeah, he does a Field of Dreams. Like he literally fades away. I was like, is that supposed to be super speed? What is this? Is this symbolic? What is this?
And the number one reason I would love to have written like a season 8 companion book is I want to know how Jimmy afforded that like clock tower place for Chloe when he was stealing money for drugs like 1 week earlier.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's why, because he'd spent all everything he'd ever made to buy the watchtower.
I think about it now. I asked one of the Smallville writers that, and he said there was a whole like subplot that Jimmy's father was like a thief and had all this money or something. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we did not see that on TV.
So, yeah, Doomsday, just disappointing on every level. Some would facetiously say the series finale is the worst season finale. But
I heard stories about that being, like, the last week of school, and, like, none of the actors were remembering their lines. They were just done when they were filming.
On Doomsday?
Yeah. I just for the sake of being nice to everyone, there was one actor who always did remember his lines at that point, and that was Justin Hartley, mm-hmm. who, of course, had his training from, like, you know, doing soaps.
Right.
But everybody else was, like, pieced out by that point.
Yeah. A soap opera, there's one, like, every day. It's a relentless schedule, so I'm sure he was used to the grind. But, you know, I liked some elements of Doomsday. You know, I thought if they had just given us an actual fight of some kind, I think a lot would be forgiven. But the fact
that's another instance where an earlier episode made for a better finale, and that would be Bride.
Oh yes, Bride was amazing. Bride is amazing.
Bride felt like a season finale, and it was wonderful.
It was a mid-season finale, so it still served that purpose. Other than Lana coming back, but even then, she was fine in that episode. Her and Clark actually had a mature conversation. In that episode,
you're hiding secrets from me.
It's your favorite blonde impression, but no, that was an epic. And then people thought Lex was coming back, and that was awesome. I think season eight was great. The first half, it struggles. Legion was great coming back after Bright. It struggled a little bit, especially with the Lana arc. Requiem, I mean, that's it's tough times there. But then they kind of recovered
a
little bit.
Not getting me up for that either.
They recovered a little bit, but then they just crashed and burned with Doomsday. Had they kept Davis, okay, I get Sam Witwer's great, and they want to keep him around as a human for the second half of the season, but I felt like Bride was like, okay, that's it for Davis. Now he just should be Doomsday the rest of the time. Like, if you're telling a logical story progression.
And also, remember how, at that point, by season 8, Smallville's Jimmy was on the Supergirl Jimmy plan, where he, like, disappeared for, like, 5 episodes?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And Lois disappeared for most of the Lana arc, too, which was weird.
Well, that's weird, because was Erica Durant, was she on...
She was in the 13 out of 22 episodes contract at that time, I believe.
Even in season 8?
I think so.
Wow.
Might have been 18 out of 22, but I feel like it might have been 13.
Yeah, because I remember that was the big deal in the first, season 4, 5, 6, 7, where she's like, hey, Lois is away now, Clark, so you have to, you know, they'd always make a point, like, she'd be gone for a while, but... And then season 9, my favorite episode of the show... Salvation. I feel like that just culminated everything. Like, they addressed the fact that Justice League existed. They got them on the TV screens. They had the you know, we finally got to see the villains taking over the Earth, the Kryptonians. I mean, burning the symbols and stuff. You got an awesome final confrontation between Clark and Zod. They found a nice cheat, because they don't have the budget to show a superpowered battle. They found a nice cheat with the Blue Kryptonite. You just have a one-on-one kind of battle. So I love that. And it was a great cliffhanger, too, because you're like, you know what? I know Clark's not going to die, but what is he going to do? Is he going to pull it out? Is he going to fly now? Like, endless possibilities.
Is he going to put on a costume? No, never mind.
He tried, but Jor-El took it away. Anyway, so and then the series finale, that's his own discussion, which, you know, hit or miss. But
lots of misses.
Lots of misses, few hits. Thank God Michael Rosenbaum came back. But anyway, so that was our Smallville season finale talk.
Yeah, but you know what? I think we've pretty much discussed everything about the Supergirl finale.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really much to it. It was like a big fight scene. Now, let's talk about the tag scene at the end, and then we can have any kind of stray thoughts about everything. But so they established Zod at the beginning, right? Superman is, he's seeing Zod instead of Supergirl, and he's fighting him. And that actor, whose name escapes me, but had appeared on Smallville as a stuntman, I believe. So that was an interesting choice. Yes. To cast him. Interesting. Like, blonde Zod, which you have not seen before in live action anyway. Interesting choice, though. So I'm like, oh, okay, they brought up Zod. Everybody knows Zod. Okay, that makes sense.
But then, they announced today who the villain for season 3 is.
Yeah, and it's going to be Rain.
Yeah,
but before, like, if I hadn't known any of that stuff and all that, you see the end of this scene. I'm like, oh, this is Zod putting Davis Bloom into the ship to go be Doomsday. That's what I thought when I saw that scene for the first time. What did you? I mean,
Doomsday,
Doomtender, right? As they called him, and he was supposed to be the bartender, right? Wasn't that the deal?
I had forgotten about that.
I must have learned that from Krypton site, but the original plan was that they built the Ace of Clubs, Ace of Spades, the
Ace
bar,
of Clubs.
Ace of Clubs, yeah, and he was gonna be the bartender, Doomtender.
Here's trivia for you: the Ace of Clubs set used to be what other set?
Was it the Green Arrow's Watchtower set?
Yeah. Which was unfortunate because then Justin became a series regular, but his house didn't exist anymore.
They had nowhere to put him, yeah.
Even though they kept going back there in season 7, or season... Was it season 7 after he left?
Yes, like, because they still had the set yet. Yes.
Yeah, well, then they turned it into the Ace of Clubs, and then they brought him back.
Oh, man, we still can't get off talking about Smallville. But hey, it's a Smallville pod. We're looking at Supergirl through the Smallville lens. Give us a break, guys. But no, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, are they going to do some Davis Bloom kind of situation? And in its own way, I guess it kind of is with Rain, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. You know, maybe Rain will, whatever her human name is, maybe she'll be a paramedic or a bartender.
Or bartender.
Look at the alien dive bar.
It all comes together. It's so good.
I'm so sick of that alien dive bar. I'm like, do they go anywhere else? Whatever happened to Noonan's from season 1 where they would go every week?
That must be in LA.
Clearly.
But the thing with the Krypton flashback as well, it said 35 years ago, right?
Right. So that means Clark is 35 years old.
Yeah. So I thought I don't know. I guess they never established the timeline until now, but I thought everybody was a little older, didn't you?
No, I mean, you think about it. Well,
because remember when Wynn made the crack about, like, hey, you don't look your age, Superman? Or, you know, he's like, oh, well, Kryptonians age slower. You know, Jimmy, I call him Jimmy because Wynn is the Jimmy of the show. But, by the way, great moment between Wynn and Superman when Superman shows up. And he's like,
Wynn is so gay for Superman.
You talk about homoerotic undertones, right? But, such a nice moment between those guys. But I thought, like, okay, Superman's, because if Clark and Lois and all them are the same age as Cap Grant, like, you know, maybe, you know, late 40s, early 50s, kind of, you know.
Yeah, that wouldn't make much sense either.
Timeline's,
I think,
all whacked out.
Blew out the door the second they cast Tyler.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have to do the math. I guess it sort of makes sense because, you know, if Kara was in suspended animation as long as she was.
Because she was there, let's see, she was what, 12, trying to 12, think.
Yeah.
And Superman was active for 10 years. I don't know. Somebody do the math. You'll figure it out, guys.
I'm a writer, not a mathematician. I do have to say, though, I loved the line where we finally find out that Kat knows, because she was dropping major hints.
So when do you think she knew?
Oh, I think it was probably in season 1 at some point.
Yeah, she probably just figured it out at some point and didn't say anything.
Kat Grant is not dumb. I love, like, I remember the first time I saw the Supergirl pilot, I was like, she's a little over the top. I'm not sure about this. Mm-hmm. And then I just came to really love her. And I think losing her as a regular character was probably one of the problematic things about season 2.
Yeah.
Because Kara's normal human life kind of went away. Like, they tried the reporter thing, which never really made sense to me. I mean, that's why, like, I think, like, as far as successful storylines, I thought the Maggie and Alex thing was good because it showed Kara, like, a side of human life, you know, what other people go through. And I think that's something, like, I don't think Kara had enough of that, of seeing what other people go through and, you know, learning the human experience, and dating an alien didn't help.
Yeah, again, they just... she decided, I mean, she didn't want to be in a relationship with Jimmy Olsen, but then she immediately gets in a relationship with Mon-El, and it's like, I just didn't like that whole angle. Like, why did she even have to have a boyfriend all season, and why did he have to be an alien? And I get they tied it all together with the invading force and all that stuff, and star-crossed lovers, classic story, right? But I agree with you, for sure. Cat Grant became my favorite character.
I love Terry Hatcher, but I did not really care for her on Supergirl.
Yeah, she had a lot bigger role than I expected.
But she was really over the top and kind of ridiculous.
It's like, Terry, we're not in season 4 of Lois and Clark anymore. Can you tone it down a little bit? Yeah, I just, you know, when they say, hey, Kevin Sorbo and Terry Hatcher are going to be on, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, a couple episodes, whatever, like, you know, guest appearance, they're going to be here, they're going to leave. But no, she became, like, the big bad of the season, right, in the second half, so.
And this reminds me of probably why I didn't care for this finale too much the first time I watched it. I was really hoping for a reunion of Terry and Dean. I thought Dean, as Jeremiah with Cadmus, would help take her down. And then you could have that Lois and Clark reunion you've been waiting 20 years for. The episode aired on the 20-year anniversary of the cancellation date of Lois and Clark, where it was announced. So that would have been really cool. And they missed the opportunity, and that will probably never happen. Also, I don't really get the science of how lead can only affect Daxamites, when I know if I inhale lead, I'll probably still die.
It's trace elements, Craig. It's harmless to humans.
Right.
I do find that, yeah, I thought the Mon-El thing, and I talked about this, I think I talked about when we were talking about Visitor, the episode Visitor of Smallville, where there was speculation, like, oh, could Cyrus be Mon-El? That'd be a cool character. Shocking that they never brought Mon-El onto Smallville, the perfect kind of character to do that, but anyway.
That is the character I would have cast Brandon Routh as on Smallville.
Let's see.
Because Mon-El was thought to be Superman's brother.
Mm-hmm. Which is why they gave him that name, which makes no sense for his name to be Mon-El on Supergirl, by the way.
Right. Yeah. So, but alas, we did not get Brandon Routh on Smallville.
I guess, I mean, he could have, you know, he wasn't, what he was doing, Dylan Dog.
Yeah. And had Kate Bosworth graduated high school by the time Smallville was over?
See, guys, Craig makes fun of everybody, not just Tom Welling. Okay.
Exactly.
No, you're right. As brief as the Dean Cain Terry Hatcher reunion might have been if he just came back and fought them for a little bit, it would have been pretty much on par with the Amanda Pays John Wesley Shipp reunion at the end of the Flash season 2 before Henry got so unceremoniously killed like 5 minutes later. So
yeah, that was really awesome. I don't know if it was scheduling or I just thought that was a huge missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Again with Supergirl, and look, it was a fine season finale. Season 2 was fine. You know, looking forward to season 3. Good job. But I say this as a Smallville fan, like, you know, we've seen a lot of the things we saw before, and I think one of the biggest criticisms of Supergirl when they came up with it was like, oh, what is this going to be, like a gender swap Superman? She's going to do all the same stuff Superman used to do, but it's going to be Supergirl instead, and she's going to have a woman boss and a woman arch nemesis, right? But isn't that exactly what they're doing now with season 2? Like, I feel like season 2 has become the show we were worried it was going to be, just in structure-wise, you know what I'm saying?
Sort of, but I feel like I almost feel like it's become like the Superman show they would do if they could use Superman on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the whole thing about like Superman and, you know, alien dive bars and stuff is very like 1990s Superman, which was the best era of the comic book. But, you know, it seems very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. We're going to have, you know, Female Doomsday next year.
we are.
We'll have Feyora as the villain for season 4.
Morgan Edge's wife will be the head of Inner Gang that moves to National City from Metropolis. So, oh man,
now my brain hurts.
I just hope they don't fall into a trap, because you look at all these shows like The Flash, right? It's fallen into a trap of, oh, here's the speedster, you don't know who it is. Oh, here's a twist. Oh, you
have... Now I know exactly what Supergirl needs. They need a boy, Chloe.
That's true.
It's only fair.
Well, isn't Wynn a boy, Chloe?
No, Wynn's Jimmy.
That's true. But Jimmy... Oh,
okay. Wynn isn't cool enough to be Chloe.
There's too many
Chloe
jokes.
Is the coolest person in the room. You need a guy version of that who Kara can flirt with but never actually get with.
That's the key. Take notes, Arrow. That's the key.
Arrow.
I'm saying that's the key. Oh. Don't actually get with that character. That was Arrow's mistake. So
yeah, they gave way too much, you know, time and love to Covfefe over on Arrow.
It's Craig's word of the day. America's word of the day, really. So
somebody's gonna listen to this podcast 15 years from now and they're gonna be like, what is Covfefe?
Google it. Oh man. So yeah, you know, I don't want to sound like I was being a little too critical of Supergirl. I mean, I just hope I've seen what happened to Arrow. I've seen what happened to The Flash. You know, I'm very weary about these shows now. They fall in these patterns, these traps. You know, so I just hope that they can just stay fresh with things. With a character like Supergirl, your options are limitless, right? I mean, another random thought. I like that Superman mentioned that he learned that little fight move on Warworld, which says, oh, good, Superman was off doing things. Because I remember in season one of Supergirl, it was like, what was Superman doing all this time? He's never encountered Bizarro. He's never encountered Red Kryptonite, you know? It's like, what is he even doing? So it's good to know that he had some history and some stuff going on.
And also, if we're going to do the gender-bent version of, you know, famous, like, Superman stories, I want to see Batgirl already. A Supergirl-Batgirl crossover would be way cooler than Supergirl hangs out with Mon-El. But you know, that would kind of sting too if Supergirl got a Bat character, yet Smallville never did.
Well, they had Adam Knight.
I knew you were going to go there, but no. I still think, you know, the closest almost that Smallville ever got to Batman was the Angel of Vengeance and the episode Vengeance. Because I think, imagine what if that had been Batman who is going over the edge that Clark had to talk down
with his kryptonite infused heart.
Yeah, although
let's take that plot out.
But I guess I don't think AccuView lenses would work with Batman.
Yes,
I guess it would work. Just to, you know, like, end the things from Smallville we'd like to see in Supergirl.
Yes.
Guy Chloe is top of my list right now.
I want to see Doomtender. I really want to see Rain be a bartender at the alien bar. They have the set. You know they'll do it, Craig. You know they'll be going back there. Oh, real quick though, I want to see Phil Morris as the Martian Manhunter. We've talked about this before, right?
Yeah, I've tweeted that before. It'd be kind of funny if he changed forms into Phil Morris just because he can.
Like, just give us, like, one episode of that, guys. Come on. Throw us a frickin' bone here as Smallville fans, okay?
I do know there's at least one person on the Supergirl's writer staff who used to work on Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
Anything's possible! If you hold on, always hold on to Smallville. And that would be a great place to, like, end the show, where we're just like, anything's possible.
All right, Craig. Well, as we do on Always Hold On to Smallville, if you had to give this episode of Supergirl a letter grade, what would you give it?
B.
You know, I was going to give it a B as well. So I guess...
I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't Kafifi Covenant either.
So Covenant's like the A+ gold standard for season finales for you.
Yeah, it's like the Arrow finale would also get an A+ this year.
Leon,
I mean, at least Supergirl didn't end with Oliver and Felicity driving to the sunset or anything.
That was
but
the worst. Oh my gosh.
I mean, again, it's like, I think it would have helped if I was more invested in Mon-El and more invested in the whole Queen Rhea. So, I mean, there was a lot of good in it, but again, I think you know, we didn't even talk about the whole Martian Manhunter stuff. I mean, it was cool to see Ms. Martian again, but I didn't really resonate with her as much as I cared about other characters
either. You know, Carrie even says it in the episode, like, everyone close to me in my life is in a stable relationship. And it's true. It's like they've paired all these people up. Even Wynn has a girlfriend now.
Who's an alien.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just unnecessary. You know, it's, hey, except for Jimmy Olsen, you know, your love interest from season one, who you're in love with. Who's just has nothing to do now. So let me look him up next season.
I think we're supposed to forget that, like, James's ex-girlfriend was put in charge of the DEO at the end of season one, and then we never saw her again.
What show did she go to on the CW? And is it still on?
No, she's not on any CW show. It's Jenna Dewan Tatum.
Right. Which?
I think she just didn't want to go to Vancouver.
But no, she was in. Was she a guest star or something? Because I saw some commercials.
That's possible. Yeah.
Okay. She was a guest star on something. I was like, oh, well, that's where she went. I was like, oh no, I guess not. But
yeah.
I thought we would have at least seen Maxwell Lord at some point. Although he was my least favorite character by far.
I think Wonder Woman needs to snap his neck, personally.
Then we can start off
a whole different movie or TV show.
But Felicity invented O'Mac, Craig. You forget in the Arrowverse. So anyway, so B for you, B for me.
B for you.
Nevertheless, Craig.
Pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I usually don't do that on these episodes.
And did how many knockouts did we have?
We're not doing the tally for.
We had Supergirl and Superman, both.
Oh, and then Supergirl got knocked out again on the way to the fortress.
And technically, Queen Rhea was kind of knocked out before she turned to dust.
Oh, man. Oh, Superman was under the influence. So
Superman was under the influence. And Why were people still hanging out in the Catco building after it was half torn down?
They broke the big cat, you know, the big red or pink cat. I'm like, oh, that's
about to. Yeah, I'm wondering if the set is going to be gone next year.
Yeah, because what? I guess what is a cat going to go on some kind of walkabout again? You know, next
probably.
Season. Just she's going to go on her annual. Okay, guys, I'm going to be gone for 9 months, but I'll see you again when something interesting happens. So
I'll see you again in the season finale. Yeah. Later.
Peace.
She'll be like, well, you know, Smallville had 2 cat grants. I'm going to bring you another cat grant. Yes. Who's kind of inferior.
Why don't they just do that? That'd be so funny if they did. Oh, boy.
Especially
if
they brought back one of Smallville's cat grants just to really screw with people.
That'd be so good.
We just went on a tangent again.
Tangent inside the sign off. Oh, but then you know what? Another side tangent, and then we'll really be done. What they did with Superman here fighting Supergirl is what they should have done in the season one finale, right? Because obviously they didn't have the rights for Superman or the permission or whatever you want to call it to use him. And I remember I was so angry at the season
one
finale.
Just like flew up and then he disappeared.
Yeah,
and
he's
then,
like, oh, here they literally
saw his boots.
So bad. They literally say, oh, look, here he comes. And then he's getting closer and closer. And then he just goes down in the street. And then you don't see him. I'm like, you were such a cop-out, Supergirl. But anyway, that's and I understand they have the restrictions. But I'm glad they finally got to do the whole Supergirl versus Superman thing. I really liked it on...
More Superman than we saw in 10 seasons of Smallville.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. But I like that when the mentor has to fight the teacher, or the mentor and the mentee, the teacher and the student. Like on Young Justice, where Batman has to fight Robin and Superboy has to fight Superman. That was really cool. I really liked that. And... Young Justice is coming back, guys. So,
yeah, on the DC streaming network.
It all ties together. It all ties together.
Exactly.
I hope you've enjoyed our very kind of all over the place discussion in this episode about Supergirl season 2 finale. You know, lots of Smallville influences here, but this is a Smallville podcast. That's where we're coming from. It's been fun talking to you, Craig. And where can people find you if they want more of your insight and your keen sense of humor on the internet? Where can they find you?
I heard some sarcasm there. Find me at KryptonSite.com. It still exists. And then now I will say kill tip Zixum and disappear for 90 days. Poof.
Well, there he goes, folks. But as for me, you can find me at Moron Zach on Twitter. That's MoronZach. You can find us, the podcast, on Twitter at Always Smallville with 1S. You can also find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville, and send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. We are back to our regularly scheduled Smallville discussions next week. We'll be talking about Accelerate. We're winding down on season 2, coming towards Colleen and Exodus, which you talked about a little bit this time. So we'll be back next week with Accelerate. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.